friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin with you. We got, in case you missed it, coming up in about 20 minutes here. And I think for a lot of people, we've did a big Brown show today, obviously, continue on throughout the week. I was very surprised after another win last night, this one coming over the Royals in game one of their series, game two coming up in a bit. I was very surprised how many people were all the way back into the Guardians after that.
And sadly, I might be part of that group. I'm not entirely sure. Like, I don't know. There was something about last night. I think it was the idea that everyone was talking about the game because of Slade and the idea that he was close to a no hitter. You just had a lot of people's attention and eyeballs on it. And then you look up and it feels like every week or so, they're in another 4-game winning streak.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I was never really off the Guardians, so I can't declare myself back in on the Guardians. I feel like I feel like the ground has moved around a lot, moved a lot around me.
Okay.
But I really haven't moved, and it's like kind of watching like a seesaw go back and forth where I'm like, guys, where are you going? Hey, no, now you're going over here. Now you're going over here.
I still don't think they're going to make the postseason. I want to make that abundantly clear, but I feel like I have been caught up in the idea that there's times where I think this team cannot be any worse than they are. And then there's other times where I'm like, well, you know what? They find a way to get wins. And I'm just at a spot with them where I've stopped being frustrated about the lack of offense. I have accepted the 6-man rotation as we go through the upcoming like 10 or more days left in the 6-man rotation that they're doing. I've just kind of accepted all of this, and I'm just kind of taking it in a very nice, relaxed, almost like a Jimmy Buffett, get me a margarita and an Hawaiian t-shirt type style way.
So, all right. I do think that the seesaw has almost paralyzed us to overreacting. Because as soon as you panic that they're 4 games out of the wild card, they win 4 straight games, and now they're 2.5 games back off a wild card spot. And which to me, it's like, well, I love the seesaw. I love that idea of, are they going to do it?
Yeah.
But I do think it's taken us from our lesser angels of that need to define this season, which is what you're saying. Like, yeah, well, we're going to see if they're going to make the damn playoffs. Who knows?
And I've stopped putting weight into whether or not they make the playoffs either. That is, I think, a key difference from about maybe like a month and a half or so ago, where I was like, well, they have to make the postseason. And if they don't make the postseason, heads are going to be rolled for this one. Like, no, there's none of that. I've accepted they're more likely than not to not make it. And now I just get to kind of sit back, relax, and enjoy the cruise.
I mean, I think ESPN had them. I'm looking at this right now. Their playoff percentage is at 8.7%.
So that's a difference in how I know how I'm taking this in and how I'm doing it differently than I typically do. You know me. Typically, I'm on FanGraphs. I have the playoff odds percentage, and I'm tracking that daily. I haven't checked it in 2 weeks.
Oh, really? So you don't know what it is right now?
I zero clue. I'm pulling up FanGraphs right now.
Can you do it while we're talking about it so I can see if it's higher than ESPN so I can cling to that number?
Of course I can, because that's 2 clicks for me. All right, let's hold on.
Click one.
As FanGraphs asks if I want to become a member, because I refuse to just pay them $5 a month for some random reason.
The answer is no, FanGraphs.
I should pay them money. I should. For how much I use it, I should.
Nerds have enough money. I think that's what we've learned.
Guardians are 8.2% to make the playoffs.
Okay, so I'm going to go with ESPN's because that was 8.7.
That's better.
Yeah.
7.7% to clinch the wild card, which in a weird way, that means they're giving them half of a percent to actually win the division still, which is wild.
So if they actually do it, and they've only got, oh gosh, math is damn hard for me. With 17 games left? 19 games? That's it. Math is hard.
Yeah, 19
games left.
We're at 143.
So from here on out, we have to have, if they bridge the, is it 92.3? Math is so hard.
That's the station we're on.
Yeah, no, I was trying to figure out the percentage chance they're not going to make the playoffs.
Oh, at 8.2? So it would be 91.8?
I don't know why I'm struggling with this, but I am. I was talking about the ESPN one because that's a more favorable one. So 91.2% chance we should react that bigly if they do, in fact, make the playoffs. Yes.
Yeah. I'm ready to react that bigly. Yes, I am.
Like that's, I think I keep wanting to throw that. We should throw that number out every day.
Dude, that number, all these numbers sound demoralizing in many ways. I've kind of enjoyed the idea that in my bird brain, I'm like, hey, Rangers, Guardians, end of the season. That's what this will come down to. That's kind of fun.
No, see, like that's where I'm at. Like I'm almost in a no lose situation here as the fan that has been kind of in the middle as everybody has overreacted one way or another. Is I just got numb at some point and I just decided the noise is really aggravating me. I'm just going to enjoy this season and see where it goes. And my one rule was don't crater out. Meaning, like, just keep it within a game, two games, three games. Well, they're there. So they are fulfilling my most necessary desire of just staying in the thick of it. Now it is... If you don't make the playoffs, I'll go, well, you had an 8.7. Well, no, then I'll go, you had an 8.2% chance of winning. Then I'll take the lower number.
Naturally,
right?
That's how you have to do it.
And if you win, it'll be an insane accomplishment. Like, do you think that, I don't even know how to gauge this. Do people realize what an absolute accomplishment this would be if they stole a wild card spot?
I think so, but I who's to say? I really don't know.
I just
know.
Think there's such little buzz. And maybe that's what
last night did for me. And maybe it was just the no-hitter. I really think it might have just been the no-hitter conversation. But I hadn't seen a collective convo on Twitter that way about the Guardians in what feels like weeks, Nick. It had been a legitimate a month or so before we'd seen a legit conversation the way we did all last night. I mean, to the point I told you, I switched off Monday Night Football and put on my main screen the Guardians game, which was playing a secondary role on TV number two. I was like, I got to hear the audio with it. It gets main screen attention. Like it was that was a moment in many ways.
216-474-0092. If the Guardians grabbed you back in, your boy never left. Even if he realized the playoffs became a long shot there. I do think it's interesting. I always hate this truism that we speak, this axiom we use in baseball this time, which is you control your own destiny. I want to be very clear. The 8.2 or 8.7% chance to win the playoffs tells you the Guardians really don't. They do from the standpoint of if they deuce the bed, you have zero chance to win. But if the Guardians win 70% of their games, the next 19 games, that's what you can control.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control, other than when you match up against Texas, where that goes. The other teams around who seemingly when you've tanked, they've tanked, and when you've played well, they've played. You're 2.5 games out, and you're not even like the next team up in that spot. Like,
right.
You don't control your own destiny. You only control how you play.
We've just had an interesting spot where the Mariners, the Rangers, and the Royals are all just kind of crap in the bed. You know, like they're just,
you
like
hate neither, to see it.
Yeah, none of them are really playing any sense of good baseball or anything where you're like, all right, they're, and Seattle, I know, is right now on a mini winning streak, even though ours is greater than theirs. But like none of them are playing great baseball. And so you just kind of feel like there is an open opportunity here.
I don't know. As we're talking about it, I'm getting excited about it. And I'm like, no, I'm enjoying the games.
And that's what I'm trying to refrain myself from, is that idea, is that typically I will, in the mornings, I'll go back and I'll watch the game recap again and do all that stuff and then try thinking about it. In the past couple of weeks, I've just kind of like cleared my head of all that and I've just kind of accepted it for what it's. I told you this season, because of the way the TV setup is, I'm watching these games like twice a night, because it just, instead of going to like a Jimmy Hanlon golf special, it just goes right into another Guardians game. And I just watched the game over again. And so but all that stuff in the previous couple of weeks, I've just kind of freed myself of. And then last night, everyone's talking about the no hitter. They're getting into the no hitter. And I have myself juiced up for the start tonight.
I know.
And it's so odd.
I know teams in town do get annoyed when the Browns come back because it dims the light that is then shown on the team playing. I get that. I know the Cavs. I know both teams feel that way. And it's understandable.
They should feel a certain way. It is a Browns town.
Now, that being said, I think the Browns coming back has kind of also done the thing that we're talking about, and not necessarily to paralyze the outrage or the, you know, over-the-top excitement, but I do think it's come at the right time where there's a chance, I think, a fair amount of Guardians fans who were all the way in 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago, now might be surprised to look up the final week of the season and be like, oh, they're in a wild card spot.
As if they just kind of put, and I don't disagree, they just put it out of their mind.
Yeah.
And say, we're on to football season.
Because I think, like, I've been watching these games. I know you do too, but like, I think a lot of people were where you were, which is, well, just not our season. Don't have a chance in hell. I'm just gonna kind of walk through the rest of the season. So I think a fair amount of people aren't scoreboard watching until like this week, where now you're 2.5 games back. And if you get the win tonight, now you're 2 games back. And all of a sudden it feels like you got a real chance.
Yeah. I mean, I've highlighted that Rangers series for a little bit in my head, but like until we just went through the FanGraphs odds, it's out of me. I keep track of that all the time. It's been 2 weeks since I looked that up. Legitimately did not know where they were at. Because I don't have playoff expectations. But what I do know right now is I am having a lot of fun watching these games still. And maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just surprised by the excitement and the fun that I'm having still watching these games, when it feels like everyone else has just kind of left the team.
The funny thing about the last time, because you remember I pointed out the Rangers and how often you face them in the second half, like at the All-Star break of like, oh, I love that, because both teams. And then when both teams met up, there were 500 teams. The Rangers were actually below 500, and now they're 5 games above 500.
And remember, before that series, the Rangers had entered where guys like Joe Sheehan, that I like to read every day, had basically dismantled that team.
Yep.
They were in such a downward spiral. They couldn't
hit
it all.
People were retiring Bruce Bochy.
Yeah, they couldn't hit it all. Their pitching was atrocious, and they still don't seem like that great of a team, if we're being honest about it. They're just above water now relative to where they were.
216-474-0092. Have the Guardians grabbed you back in? More to come, including, in case you missed it, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
So real quick, why would I ever bring in a straw man? I've never brought a straw man in.
No, I just know that in today's day and age, when you don't name names, people assume like you're just making stuff up.
I don't want to name names. I think they'd be upset because they set it off the record. If they would have set it on the record, I would have got audio and I would have played it, but yeah. They set it off the record. It's in its media brethren.
Mm-hmm. And you think if they went public with such a sentiment that the Guardians making the playoffs is no big deal. Who cares?
I mean, I already got like no two big guys. Whoop. I already got one guy in the media. He will talk again.
No big whoop-de-doo.
But there's already one guy in the media here who won't talk to me. I don't want to alienate anybody else. Do I want to hurt anybody else's feelings?
Well, your Sith Lord hood that you've got
Senator
going on
Palpatine.
Right now.
I'm not feeling good, I told you. You put your hood up when you ain't feeling that good.
Oh, okay. That's the international symbol, huh?
What, this isn't serious to you?
Can't even look at him.
Stop. Nathan joins us at 9:01. Where they had said, they'd asked, is it even worth it? I'm like, well, yeah, of course. Even if you want to be nasty about Paul Dolan, I think it's worth it. Because you haven't put together the greatest product on the field. I think they overachieved last year. I think that's easy to say for a lot of people. Now, they've had a couple of guys who have been banged up. Like, if they had Lane Thomas, maybe things would be a little different. If they still had Emmanuel Clase, things would be a little different. Now, that's self-inflicted there. Maybe things might be a little bit better. But they overachieved last season. And you could say, man, the team, if you're not actually trying, if you've drawn a conclusion that they overachieved last year, then you could say, if you're not even really trying because of television revenue, and that's up in the air. If you're not even really trying because of a possible work stoppage, that's up in the air. If you're not even trying, quote unquote, for those reasons, and you still have a team that's over 500 in the wild card mix and then actually makes the postseason. We're 3.5 games out. How many games do we have left? 17?
16, I believe.
16. Yeah. Oh, that was my original number a couple of weeks ago.
And 17. Now we're here.
17. Got that
we
one.
We were just ahead.
Way off. So if you have 16 games left, it's going to be tough. But if you were to make the postseason, then you go, man, 2 out of the last 3 years, you make the postseason. The last 2 years, you make the postseason. Even if you get bounced in the wild card round. Why won't you do more to help this team? Clearly, this team needs help. clearly this team is worth helping. Why won't you do more? It gives you more of an argument to hold the owner's feet to the fire. It gives you more of an argument to say, why aren't you doing what's necessary to get this team over a hump while you have Jose Ramirez playing for it? So even if you wanted to be negative, and I'm not trying to be a homer here and rah-rah. Everybody wants to see their team go to the postseason. That's not hard to do. It's easy to sit here and rip the media brethren and say, this is the problem with the media in this town. This is the problem with the media in general. I'm not even asking that. I'm saying if you are a person who immediately doesn't think very highly of the Guardians and their ownership, them making the postseason gives you all the ammo in the world. Now, if they go and they win a World Series, I don't know if anybody gives a damn. But if you want to be critical and don't think they'd win a World Series, because I don't think that they would be very highly picked to win the World Series if they made the postseason. But if you don't think so, then fine. They made the postseason 2 of the last 3 years, last 2 years altogether. They went to an ALCS. They might have got to a wild card. We'll see how this goes. If they do all that, then you can be as nasty as you want to about Paul. You mean nasty anyway, but this gives you legitimate reasoning behind that. Is the point I'm making. Yeah,
I get it.
Yes, it's in every way possible, it's worth it.
Would it at all be interesting if I told you, hey, they got Manzardo, you know, doing what he has been doing, and he certainly looks like somebody who you're going to be able to count on, right, going forward?
Yeah.
Kafis, who murdered that baseball. And I know it's been hit or miss, and, you know, he's had his he's had his droughts, but... Man, when you see the potential of that swing in the eighth inning yesterday to complete that or for the go-ahead and come from behind win. And what have I told you? Since the 10-game losing streak, Guardians record 35-23.
It's a good record.
That's the third best in baseball.
They also had a big losing chunk in there,
and they did. They have the third best record in baseball since that streak. Is that not incredible to you?
It is pretty wild.
Does that tell you about baseball in general?
So then it would probably tell you that you need to jump in already.
Well, and imagine if you had a closer. What did somebody listens to the show, JN and Menner, what did he tell you? How many games did he say we lost?
He said eight. That guy's as hardcore as it gets. He says by his thought, he says eight. That they would be eight games better than what they are now. Which would that would put them where? In the wild card, certainly?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well, at eight. They're 8.5 back of the Tigers right now. So you can't say that it'd be an even race there, but they'd probably be 2 or 3 with 6 games left with the Tigers still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have not come out and said it, but I keep bringing up the 6 games with the Tigers. I think it's huge. I think you can walk into this weekend. If the Tigers have a bad weekend and you have a good weekend, you can roll into Tuesday's showdown with the Tigers with these games absolutely meaning way more than anyone thought they would.
Do you believe we're only a quarterback away?
Boy, I absolutely love that question. And this
could
goes along.
This weekend, answer it.
This goes along with what Mary Kay talked about, another Super Bowl window. And I know people were scoffing. People were like, you're gonna let Mary Kay off the hook on talking about a second Super Bowl window. And then I'm thinking about what's going on. I know they lost last night and it hasn't looked great in the first 2 games for Jaden Daniels. But what did we say? And they got a lot of veterans on that Washington team. What did we say the minute they got a good quarterback? Changed everything. It changed everything for the whole organization. I know their own. He hasn't played well. They're 1-1. He hasn't played well so far. But if they, with this defense, and this defense, you know, Myles Garrett and then Denzel Ward, we know they're getting up there in years, but I have no reason to believe that either of those two can't continue to be really good. And then you look on that defensive line, they just got another. Now, who knows about JOK, but you just got a linebacker that posted one of the best first week of all the rookies, especially defensive players in the game. Secondary that overperformed. I was worried outside of Denzel what they were going to do against Cincinnati. They're fine. They're absolutely fine, even without Martin Emerson. Like, yeah, you could make the case that if they get a good quarterback, now that doesn't mean, you know, win a Super Bowl or necessarily even contend for a Super Bowl next year. And then sometimes we see sophomore slumps with a lot of these quarterbacks. So it might be another year down the road. Who knows? But yeah, that's how the NFL works. The NFL, you can instantly get to the playoffs. CJ Stroud did it. You know, Jordan Love, the minute he got to play, they got into the playoffs and made a run. Like, it can happen in this sport.
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
The Guardians play this rest of the week against Kansas City. It's a 6:40 start today, 6:40 tomorrow, and then 7:15 after that. There he is. Anthony Kastrovitz is on the fan hotline. Hello, Anthony Kastrovitz from MLB.com.
Anthony.
Hello, boys. I thought you were going to have me on to talk about the Ohio Bobcats getting ready to dismantle the Buckeyes this weekend.
That's a nice win last week over West Virginia, isn't it?
They played well.
You know it. You know it. I think this is a trap of a game for the Buckeyes.
Well, if they're going to leave the MAC, they got to start playing bigger teams. So there you go.
Are they leaving the MAC? Yeah. Break the news.
I have no idea. I don't want them to. I mean, I'm a MAC guy.
That's right.
Through and through. I support the best conference in college sports.
The biggest conference in the state of Ohio, as far as teams having teams from Ohio, right? Tell me another conference. Well, I mean, Division I, I should say.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. I'm going to get my foot out of my mouth on that
one. We're covering the important stuff here, yeah.
That is true. So I've been saying this. The Guardians are like when you were a little kid and you have a tooth that's just kind of hanging on. There's a couple strands that are keeping it attached. They're not letting that tooth go, are they?
It's funny you say that. I was talking to my seven-year-old this morning about her wiggly, jiggly teeth.
Yes.
Going on. Is that kind of the same thing?
Do you want to take a door and put a string to the knob and then put it up to the tooth if you're a Guardians fan?
No, I wouldn't do that to her or to them. You might as well, hold on and hope that it'd be fun if those last three games are at home against the Rangers. It'd be fun if those have some playoff implications for both clubs. It'd be kind of fun to watch, but I think they'd still be in it. At this point, obviously, as always in a situation like this, it says as much about the team you're chasing as it does about yourself. But, negative run differential for the Guards, but they keep finding a way here of late. You know, it was a great series against Tampa Bay and then a great win last night. Slade Ciccone was terrific. I like that guy a lot. I think he's learned a lot in the system and, just a really good teammate. I enjoyed his post game where he was really pointing out some of the great defense that he had going for him as well. So, it's interesting, right? I mean, I think there's still like some very high level, when we look back at this year at the end of the season and in the off season, I mean, there's some big questions to be asked and answered here when it comes to team construction and, where their faults are and where they've fallen short, both from a spending standpoint and a development standpoint. But, they're playing meaningful baseball in September. You got to give them credit for that.
Anthony, they clearly need. And I don't want to look too far ahead, but let's do it anyway. They clearly need two, maybe three more bats. And along with bats, I would like to just say everyday players. Do they have those guys?
No, no doubt.
Do they have those guys ready to go? And if not, do you think there's any chance they go out and acquire guys like that?
It's going to be interesting because, first of all, history tells us they're not going to acquire those guys. I don't know. How I could say that with a straight face, that you can expect them to go out and do that. I think the time to do that was last year, coming off the ALCS and they had prospects who, their system is strong. It's weird to say this too, because their system is strong in the position player side. We're not accustomed to that because this has been an organization that's been all about developing pitching. I think if anything, if they were to go out and make some meaningful investments, this winter, I think you're maybe, better situated to do that on the pitching side, just because that's where their depth is really questionable at the moment. And, that's a risk because you don't know what these guys are going to be, the Bazanas and DeLauder, if he can stay healthy, that's a big question mark right there. But it is their strength. It is like they could have some guys who pop in the not too distant future, and that would be more on the position player side than the pitching side. But it's hard to know your own timetable. I think that's maybe one great knock on this team. It's not been good at knowing its own timetable, at forecasting its own timetable. Like contention has kind of like caught them by surprise in recent years, including last year, most notably. they didn't expect to go to the LCS, and lo and behold, they did, and they didn't seize the moment, you know, last winter. And now here you are with a negative run differential and hoping things break exactly right in these last couple of weeks to maybe sneak into a playoff spot.
Can they do it? Like, what? I look, you know, last night they jump over the Royals. That's good. They've jumped over the Rays. They've already jumped over two teams. And, you know, the Rangers are still on the schedule down the road. Like, there's a part of me that just doesn't want to give up.
I mean, I'm not just saying this because they're in stuff. I mean, I feel like in a clubhouse when they were here for Labor Day weekend, and they've got a lot of good ball players. They should.
Hey, Anthony, I think we're going to call you back because I think we had some sunspots here. Some solar rays are interrupting our thing. Well,
speak now.
All right, now try it.
Yep, we'll call you back.
All right, we're going to call you right back. All right, he's Anthony Castrovitz from MLB.com. He's one of us, so he gets it. We all kind of get it. We want to make sure you can hear everything he has to say. Again, the Guardians sitting at 73-70, 2.5 back on that wild card spot. They play the Rangers. Wouldn't it be great if it came down to that final series against the Rangers?
It would be great.
It'd be really super exciting.
It would be great if they wrapped it up before that, Andy.
No, I mean, but I mean, as far as excitement's concerned, I mean,
that'd be nice.
There's a little bit of doubt. I think it's more about the Mariners at this point. Is he back? All right, let's give him another shot. Hang on.
This, you got me?
Yeah, there now we got you. There you go. That's good. All right. Okay. All right, so let's finish that thought. I just don't see any of these teams. Like, Seattle's just, I think Seattle's a pretty good team. They're just weird. They're a weird team. But you could say the same thing about the Guardians. Can the Guardians get there? And now he's completely gone.
This isn't going well.
MLB.com
needs better phones.
He's almost there. Want to give one more shot? All right, we'll give one more shot. They're getting back. Maybe somebody from Baltimore is running the lines on me right now. What do you think?
A lot to be said for phones that are actually attached to wires.
What is that? What's that? Seriously, when's the last time you used a phone that was attached to a wire?
Been a while.
I can't remember.
Been a while.
And it wasn't connected to the internet?
Been a while.
All right, here we go. We believe this time. All right. We believe!
You got me.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This has been bizarre because you guys sound great to me, and quite frankly, I sound great to myself. So I don't know what's happening here. With
something
the
in the line, my friend. Something in the line.
Anyway, to answer your question,
yes.
The Guardians have to win something like 70% of the remaining games. It's not impossible. It's just, you know, you need the Mariners to play something like 500 ball while you play better baseball. I mean, that's the math. The Mariners are just a really good team that for some reason, like a really good collection of players, I should say, that for some reason have not added up to the sum of their parts. I thought they were going to run away with the AL West in the second, you know, last couple months. I thought they were going to go on a surge, and then lo and behold, they're just kind of faltering. So I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of things have to break right, obviously, for Cleveland.
What do you think of Cade Smith in his audition as a closer?
That guy has every tool you need to be a great closer. Long term, he'll go through things that come with adjusting to that role. I mean, everybody does, but it's rare for a player to just kind of seize that position and take off running. But I mean, you know, it's an awful situation with Emmanuel Clase and that whole thing. But at least you have somebody there who is a no brainer. In terms of stuff and demeanor and everything to really thrive in that role long term.
I know the season's not over, but the job that Stephen Vogt's done here, because this has been a roller coaster at the end.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's exceeded the sum of his parts in terms of this roster for 2 years running, so you got to give him credit for that. You can always pick apart a manager, even the best of them. But he's obviously very good at relating to these guys. He's obviously very good at putting them in the right position. And I'm sure with the input of the front office as well, at putting guys in the right position to, you know, maximize what's at their disposal. I mean, we were just talking. I mean, they don't have much in the way of everyday players. They just don't. They got Jose Ramirez. They got Stephen Kwan. And they have, you know, he hates talking about platoons or using platoons or whatever, but that's what he does. That's what they do. They platoon all over the place. And,
you know, again, I have issues with just the general construction of the roster. I don't have issues with how Steven Vogt deploys it.
Kyle Manzardo an everyday player for you?
I think he can be. You know, I like that guy a lot. I just like his swing. I think that he is an intelligent hitter who's probably, you know, I'm sure he's learning things. You know he is from this experience this year and getting, you know, some opportunities against lefties. And I think he can be an everyday player. Yes, he's one of the very few guys, you know, in that collection of, you know, 20 somethings that I look at and go, yeah, that could be a guy. That could be a guy who's not an all-star, maybe not a, you know, MVP type, but just a really solid regular. I could see that for him.
Something weird has gone on here for me. They bring up George Valera.
Yeah.
George has been so highly touted for so long in the last 2 years. He's been injured, dinged up, didn't do much in the minors, blah, blah, blah. Anthony, he looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, do you give him a chance to win a job next year? You know, I doubt you're bringing back Lane Thomas. Nobody you just drafted is going to be ready. It still screams to me you need an outfielder. There's Nolan Jones. He looks like a ball player. He doesn't hit like one as often as we'd like.
Right.
I just wonder, are you going to keep shuffling through these guys and hope you get lucky, or are you going to go out and get somebody?
I mean, they need to go out and get somebody.
They do, don't they?
I just don't think they will. So, yeah, show me George Valera. I mean, no offense to Nolan Jones, but we've seen that experiment at a pretty large measure of at-bats, you know, for this season. And I'd rather, you know, it's tough because you're in contention, but I think you have to treat it with more of a developmental mindset than a contention mindset. I really do. And that means playing Valera. He's here. Let's see what you got. Because you have to go into the winter with some idea of what you have. So that's the way I would play it. But, you know, I don't draw the lineups up.
Who do you like all the way here, American League, National League?
Oh, my gosh. I was actually just working on that.
I had a feeling you
favorite would. On the lack of World Series favorites this year is really pointed. You can always say that in baseball, anything can happen, blah, 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 blah. But I think we got like 80 points separating in winning percentage. We have like 80 points separating the top playoff team currently, the Brewers, from the bottom playoff team currently, which is the Mariners. We're not going to have a 100-win team. That's the second year in a row we won't have a 100-win team. But it's only happened twice since 2014 or 15. Yeah. So there's no super teams. You know, the Dodgers were supposed to be, but they haven't played like it. And, you know, so I really like the Phillies, but only if Trey Turner is healthy. And right now he's not. They hope to have him back for October. And you know, it's weird because we're just talking about it, but I actually really like the Mariners. They just haven't done it. They don't pitch very well on the road. So I don't know. The American League is wide open to me. There's just no great teams. I think Toronto could – Shane Bieber is maybe the biggest X factor in the postseason. He'll throw again tonight, and we'll see how, you know, he finished the season. But he's a huge X factor in the playoff field, I think.
I look at this rotation and I don't see Corey Kluber, but I wonder if one of these guys could develop. Gavin Williams seems like the closest thing to me, but I like these young guys in the rotation, including Joey Cantillo. Is there one that jumps off the page to you?
Man, I mean, Gavin Williams has a stuff. It's just, you got to stop walking people, you know, on measure. And so to be that dude, I mean, that's what it would take for him. But I do like him a lot. I mean, I think he's taken enormous steps this year. And so you don't have to squint too hard to see him being a frontline starter. But yeah, it's just about command. It's about limiting walks. That'll be the next step for him. But he's the one for me. Beyond that, I don't know that I see an ace in the making. I see some really good talent, but that's why it's strange to see them in this position where they don't have that next wave coming. And so if these guys get hurt or are just this, you know, if they're just kind of like, you know, good, solid mid rotation guys, I mean, how are they going to piece together an elite rotation? It's going to be really difficult to do.
Is Joey Cantillo more than a mid rotation guy?
Yeah, you know, I think he can be. I think he can be. I like him a lot. I just, I feel about him the way I feel about the group in general. Like, you know, the upside is probably more limited than we're spoiled here for a very long time. Yeah. Where it's like they bring up one guy and another and like, oh, he turns into a Cy Young type, you know, Corey Kluber, Shane Bieber, they develop these guys. And, you know, Tanner Bivey kind of wore that label with the extension and everything. I don't think he's that. I think he's more of a mid rotation type, which is fine. I mean, you got to have those guys, but You know, in their system right now, you can't look at it and say they're going to have a guy come up and all of a sudden be a Cy Young type. I just don't see that.
All right, last question for me. For them to make the playoffs, they have to do what outside of winning series? What's got to happen?
Put points on the board, you know. Yeah. They struggle to do that with consistency, but we have seen they strung some, you know, crooked number innings here lately, that series against the Rays, and then last night, of course. Yeah, that's what it always comes down to for them. It's exceeding our expectations offensively. Let's put it that way.
Fair enough. Let's see if they can get a little bit better offensively and make a run at this thing too. Cause it's kind of fun cause they keep us hanging on and I'm good with it. I'm good with that.
Yeah. I mean, hey, September baseball, it beats a guy watching a guy miss kicks, you know, I'd rather watch September baseball.
Wow.
Thank you, Anthony. Wow.
See you guys.
Goodbye. Anthony Kastrovitz, MLB.com.
11%? Did you see the picture he sent?
No, sorry.
Oh, it was on social media. I'm sorry. Well, he didn't at you. 11% that drink is over there at that ballpark?
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God. How are you here this morning?
I'm a gamer.
What was in it? What was
Show up big time.
Clearly you are.
I don't
are.
Miss my kicks. I'm good. I'm a gamer. I'm ready to go.
I couldn't believe I was so impressed. I go, oh, my God. So Owen had a joke. He wrote.
It's not a joke. It's real life.
Ah, okay. Owen had a great tweet where he wrote, "No Jose home run ball for me. I was three. It was 3 feet to my left, and Ken Carmen wouldn't let me go get it. Guess I'll settle for 11% in a box in a playoff race on a Tuesday night." And I look and I go, "Whoa, 11%!" Like someone's like, "Hey, there's Buzzkill Ken," and I go, "You ain't killing 11% on a buzz, brother. I don't know anything I can say to kill 11%. Wow. Wow. I'm impressed, brother. You hoot with the owls at night, you soar with the eagles in the morning.
Try to keep it that way. Hey, wow. When you've got playoff baseball, when every game that's left is a playoff game,
yep,
you're able to get it up and get going the next morning as well.
You are. I mean, this is the playoffs, folks. We're in the postseason. It's win or die every single week, every single day. Excuse me, every single night. It is win or die. Joey Cantillo had a hell of a performance last night. Boy, these guys are pitching right when you need them to. I know I was concerned about the rotation and everything. These guys are pitching when you need them.
Now, more importantly, now I got the picture up. So I'm looking.
More importantly?
I'm looking at the actual item. Because at first, you said 11. I'm like, I could, like, if you had there's certain pumpkin beers right now that are in the 8%.
And a nice mead on a Tuesday evening.
You do two pumpkins and you're done for.
You guys are still in that pumpkin
11.
Stuff.
11. Well, it's just pumpkin came out, you know,
you guys,
like 3 weeks ago.
Not you.
And
you know what I mean.
It's all I saw the last time I was at a bar. It's all I saw everybody getting because it was on tap.
Right.
And everybody was asking for it. And again, that's like 8.something%. You can only really do two of those. If you're doing more than two of those, you know, what kind of night are you trying to have? It's tough to maintain that. What I'm looking at right now in a very colorful box, 11.
We'll talk about it more off air.
Wait, it says 11.
I kind of want to talk about it on air.
0.1.
You shorted it. It's 11.1. Yeah. It looks like an orange.
That 0.1 that gets you.
Orange sherbet.
So
what
this
is
thing
this?
Is called a beet blast, a beet box, and it's called Orange Blast.
That's not a blue raspberry one.
Looks tasty.
Pretty and good. This is street legal?
Apparently,
this wasn't made
street legal, but it's right field district legal for sure.
This wasn't made in a bathtub somewhere.
Where was the pyramid of Giza for the beatbox?
Wow,
you imagine that? You imagine what that crowd was like?
That's a good drink, man. Did it at least taste good?
I'll let you know off air.
Because there's a few out there. It's like I've had some high gravity before, obviously. And it's like, man, did you guys scrape this out of the bottom of the tank? Like, I don't know if I can make it through this can. And then, like, there's some things. It's like, oh, okay. And I know wine will get you. Wine can be a high alcohol content.
I don't know
content.
If you ever had a younger time in your life, you know, a dorm room time. I spent several years in dorms in the military, right? And so had the similar experience of your college experience there. But there were several nights where a little Mad Dog or a little Boone's Farm get you through the evening, right? It was one of those nights.
What, the Edward 40 hands?
Yeah.
What about, did you ever do the, what was it, the Harry Buffalo or the something Buffalo?
Harry Buffalo is a restaurant.
Yeah. What was it called? What was it called where they threw in the Everclear and all the fruit? That was disgusting. I don't remember.
That was just, you know,
jungle juice.
We used to take the big tub and you throw everything in there. Usually it was like a tote, like someone's mom's tote. And of course, you'd never cleaned it out before.
No, you just
throw all the booze in and everything
like that.
Well,
that's why if you're really doing it right, you get the plastic three-level bins, right? That kind of looks like maybe it was a Rubbermaid dresser.
Yeah.
And you fill each one, and then you got three different levels.
Yeah, don't put that inside, though, because that thing's going to leak. You pull out them drawers, that thing's going to slosh around and all that other stuff. It's going...
Anchorage in the winter is like a built-in freezer.
Oh, my God.
Were people taken after you after they saw you with this? Were you getting questions?
Oh, no.
I actually got mad.
I beatboxed more than once over at the ballpark.
Yeah, man, you got
to
be.
And there's not too many people willing to come with me.
When you order it, are they like, you never know, are they
Sometimes we walk through. I did go to the bar and actually get my last one last night. And the guy was like, oh, you want two? I go, no, not two.
No.
Just one. I go, I got to get up. Got to get up in the morning.
That's the worst thing. About if you go to an event and it's like open bar, and then you always do the thing where, and I totally do the George Costanza. I tip at the beginning, and I want you to see that I'm tipping at the beginning.
Of course.
You need to
setting
see this.
Setting the tone.
Because it's usually.
Got a segment.
If it's an event, you're going to take a $20 bill. Here it is. This is for me.
Cover me for a while.
If it's me and my wife, maybe it's more. I'm not sure. But Liz does. I mean, Liz has a couple of drinks here and there, but not like her younger days. So here is your
Snoop days.
I want you to say, hey, shut up. She didn't have sex with him. So anyway, you do it. And then you go up and you still got to pace yourself a little bit. Because, you know, I'm not 25 anymore. I'm 39. Like, it can't be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The other thing I'll say about the game, though, guys, I parked over here. It was 8:44 when I got back to my car.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. That's right. That's right.
It's not like I was out at midnight.
No, that's good.
But still, it's an early morning. Yeah. Owen, don't get this mixed up. I am giving you all the credit in the world.
Ken, you know me. I don't care.
Well, I know, but I want people to know, lot of people come up
but
with a lot
was
of excuses.
One of those, that was one of the factors that went into it last night. It was, you know, we walked in the ballpark at 6:35 and
we got a man.
And 8:45, we were back out into the car.
Doing well.
We're good.
But you go and you like give the thing and then you walk back up to the bar and they're like, all right, two more highlights. You're like, I didn't know. And then sometimes they crack them open and I'm going, I just wanted a Sprite. I'm trying to gear down here a little bit. I'm gonna be headed back to the hotel. Like it was just like, man. So you feel bad in that moment when you go up there and they're like, oh yeah, two more. Like no. So I have to make it abundantly clear when I'm walking up, going, no, I'm cutting myself off. Be cool. But at least the Guardians got the win. And right now where are we at right now, Owen? Where are we at?
We're in Cleveland.
Well, I know that, but where are we at in the? You ass.
These guys wits about him.
He's smart. I don't think we made any ground up last night. Yeah, still 8.5 back in the division, 2.5 back in the wild card.
Okay, so we're still 2.5 back, which technically are we 3.5 back because the Seattle Mariners have the tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker, yeah.
All right,
so you've won 5 in a row, 6 of 7.
Can't stop. Yeah,
Seattle's won 4 in a row. Rangers won 3 in a row.
There was an interesting conversation though that happened yesterday during because the day before. We almost had a Slade Ciccone no-hitter. I want to hear Nick out before I go after him. Here was Nick and Jonathan yesterday afternoon, and Nick is explaining that he would rather, with this team, right? It's this team. I don't want to take anybody out of context. Not at 6:11 in the morning. Nick had said with this team he'd rather see a no-hitter than a postseason berth, a wild card berth. Go ahead.
I know if you give people, you can claim a wild card spot or your favorite pitcher, your favorite team, the Guardians, can pitch a no-hitter this season. I know people are going to choose wild card. It's the thing I haven't seen. I feel like I've heard enough about the Len Barker no-hitter.
Yeah.
That I've almost lived it. Like, I met Len Barker. We played in the celebrity softball game with him.
That's right. Me, you, and Adam.
I've heard my dad's perspective on it. I heard my uncle's perspective on it. I've heard, you know, Terry Pluto's perspective on it. I've heard so many perspectives.
But gets brought up every time a Guardians player almost has one.
But we get 1 year farther into the rearview mirror, and you are right in just the absolute idea that it's going to happen. You just don't know when it's going to happen. For this year specifically, if this was last year, oh, I would have just taken the division. I would have taken the wild card spot because I believed in that team. This year, I think just making the wild card spot is going to be a nice accomplishment, and then we can go watch football after that. I don't think this team's going to do much in the postseason, even if they make it. So I just want the accomplishment. So I'd rather take this accomplishment over that one, even if I want both.
Okay, so he's being specific about this year, about this team only, not any general year. Because if it's any general year, no. This year, even still, I do not care that much. I've never seen a no-hitter from my favorite team. We had the 1 year where there was a bunch of no-hitters, so I didn't think that no-hitters were... I think it kind of watered them down a little bit that year. From this team, I'd much rather have the postseason. I'd much rather have a wild card berth than a no-hitter. I don't even think it's... I don't think they're in the same stratosphere. You know, give me a wild card.
Yeah, we had asked over the years, like, is a no-hitter as big a deal? Because we had the biggest drought. We've had the longest current drought in Major League Baseball. And it's one of those, like, it's become a unicorn thing. We've been chasing it. We've been eyeing it down. Anytime we get remotely close to it, like, your tentacles go up. You're like, holy cow, we might actually be able to get this. And then I stop and I think, what does it do for me? What does it do for me if I get to see it? Now, that's part of the equation here. Like, I don't doubt Nick Wilson's watching every single game. He's dialed in. I put him in the category. Baseball guy. I put Nick Wilson in, and Jonathan too.
Nick and Jonathan are good with baseball.
I think they are. They are watching every game and dialed in. But I don't think Cleveland is right now. I think yesterday was probably, as I looked in the stands.
I told you 2.5 days this week is when people should be dialed in.
I asked Owen, I said, all right, you were there without having looked up what the actual paid attendance was, which always going to be an inflated number. We know that. How many did you think were actually there?
11% of the stadium was there. I mean, it was not.
A couple thousand?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe? Okay, they listed it at 15.
No, it wasn't. And I've been to the stadium several times. It was not 15. Yeah, it might have been 15 paid.
I think yesterday might have been the biggest gap all year in terms of paid versus actually walk through the turnstile. So I think that's the story from here on out, unless you get to the final week of the season and they have a real shot. Then I think, all right, the crowds will be back. Everybody's into it. So if they get a no-hitter, like if yesterday would have been a no-hitter, especially a road game, what if they would have been on the road? I don't think that is going to be up there in Cleveland sports lore, like say had it happened in July.
Yeah.
I just don't think once football starts, I think it's one of those, like, a lot of people say they watched it, but did they really?
So you and I agree. Let me take it to a different tack. Now, usually I would be
doing... I just don't think it'll be anywhere near as big of a deal.
Usually I would be doing what I can to demean and discredit Nick's point, because that's what we do with each other's shows. I'm not going to do that. I get where he's talking about it, but I also know that if they don't make the postseason after a wild card, after an ALCS run, I think a lot of people, like, once they're officially out, if they are officially out here in the next few weeks, I think the gloves are going to come off with a lot of folks and they're going to be mad. It does not make a consolation prize if they are not a wild card team and I get a no hitter out of it. I'd much rather make the postseason, because I'll take a page out of your book. How much better does Steven Vogt look if they actually make the wild card? How much better do the young guys look if they make the wild card? Because essentially, I mean, you don't have, some people said, well, essentially have the same team. Well, you don't have Lane Thomas. Lane Thomas has been
injured. Well, we all agree they're worse than last year.
So they're worse than last year.
Yeah.
And because of some of the guys that,
worse relief pitching.
Yes. So you've had you don't have Emmanuel Clase because of his alleged dalliances. So, you don't have Luis Ortiz, who was starting to come around here or there because of his alleged dalliances. So you are, on paper, a worse baseball team. So you've been worse. If you make the postseason, I know it's an extra postseason slot, and I know there might not be as much fervor for the Guardians going into this year, this postseason, as it would be last season, postseason. But, man, I really think we got to see the entire scope of things. I've seen some great Guardians slash Indians baseball over the last 40 years. We've been blessed because of building the stadium and the Jacobs and the beginning and all this other stuff, and they have been a good, responsible franchise. So we've been blessed to see good competitive baseball. I'd much rather see more of it than a no-hitter. I've lived without a no-hitter for a long time. I don't stay up at night trying to see no-hitters. I've heard the stories about Len Barker's no-hitter. It's great. I know that Toby Hara made the last out. Great. Like, that's and good for them. Good for the perfect game. Congratulations on the perfect game. It's a hard thing to do, and it should be celebrated every year on the anniversary, but it's not the end-all, be-all, for crying out loud. And I'd much rather, with this team, give me the wild card. I don't care.
I still know it was so much a bigger deal when I was younger. And I do ask, like, is it a bigger deal? Is it, what if it's just a road game?
But it also, baseball was bigger.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. And then so often, you know, these pitchers, they dance around. They go from team to team. Maybe it'd be one thing if it would have been Corey Kluber or Shane. But if it's just a pitcher that's, you know, not going to be here in 2 years.
But you look at, like, when David Wells and David Cone did it, it was a was a big deal in our generation. And now it's like
the Nolan Ryan no-hitters.
If a guy does it on another team on a Thursday, it's like, that's just fine.
Welcome back to Basket of Films. Great to have Chris Soares with us moments ago. Chris, and again, his NFL game day final. Watch it on the NFL Network. Really good stuff.
Daryl Ryder was with us a little bit earlier in the show, and you know you can get Daryl all the time, anytime. You can't get enough Daryl Ryder.
That's what everybody says.
That's what people come to and go, hey, what's Daryl up to? And I'm like,
can't get enough.
He's on YouTube, man. He lives on that thing. Get the latest in Browns practice throughout the week right now on our YouTube channel, and that's why I tell you Daryl Ryder recaps each and every practice and game while featuring the best highlights from coaches and players during media availability as well as on-the-field action. So subscribe to 92.3 The Fan's channel on YouTube now and get all of the latest from Daryl Ryder on the Browns throughout the football season. And don't forget our Brownie Bites post-game edition with the two of us. We hang out after the game. It's fun.
Guardians have won 5 straight games. Mariners have won 4 straight, as Anthony just threw out, and Texas has won 3 straight. So even though the Guardians are playing well, they're not making a big jump right now. They have cut it to 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
But Andy, when I look at what they've done here down the stretch, we all want to see them make the playoffs. Even if they don't make the playoffs, what's happened down the stretch here, I think, has been enlightening. And I say that because these have been must-win baseball games.
I don't think they're playing that way, though. Do you?
Like, they're like, tight, you mean?
They're good games. They're exciting, and they're, you know, there. But I don't feel like, for some reason, I don't feel like the pressure's on. Like, I think if they,
you know why,
make the playoffs, they've achieved. And I, like, overachieved is probably a stretch. But I don't, they're playing pressure-free. Like, last night, you know, watching last night's game, I didn't think they were playing with, I think they were kind of playing free and easy.
Well, let me get this out of the way.
Sure.
We're not delusional. We know they can't hit. And I don't mean that to sound bad, but we face the reality. Latest updates, just so everybody has it. Last in Major League Baseball, in batting average, on base percentage, at bats, so they're not getting up to the plate because they're not getting on base enough,
right?
And hits. Dead last in batting average, on base percentage, at bats, and hits. Second to last in slugging percentage and OPS, on base plus slugging percentage. And 27th in runs scored.
And
we know it's a challenge.
And longest winning streak in baseball right now.
And here's the thing.
5 games.
They've won 5 straight games without an offense that's been, you know, that hasn't hummed all year on a consistent basis. They've had some really nice moments, but not, obviously, I just gave you the rankings. Not enough of them. But down the stretch here, Andy, I think we've seen some really nice pitching performances that we just touched with Chris about. And I think that bodes so well for next year because we know how this organization has always embraced pitching, develops pitching, loves its pitching. And right now they're going with a 6-man rotation. You're probably not going to do that next year. You're doing it down the stretch here because you got a lot of games in a lot of days, 17 and 17, and you don't want to gas these guys who have reached these innings thresholds. But if you look at Tanner Bibee, Gavin Williams, Slade Ciccone, Parker Messick, Joey Cantillo, Logan Allen, tell me who you don't want in the rotation next year. I'll take each and every one of those guys in the rotation next year.
Yeah, maybe we go with this. Maybe if you don't think your bullpen's good enough, go with six guys, six starters. Why not? I'm not. I don't think they would actually do that. But
I don't either. But
it does give you the opportunity to trade maybe someone at the major league or minor league level if you're going out to get bats.
Let me point one thing out.
Yeah,
there is a glut of arms in the organization. Now, I'm not saying top-level arms, but there's a little glut that has to be worked through here in some way, shape, or form. Do you remember the draft in 2021? They drafted 21 players, and 19 of them are pitchers.
Yep.
Well, two of those guys are in the rotation right now, Gavin Williams and Tanner Bibee. But five other guys from that draft are either in AA or AAA right now. And you might recognize some of the names. You might not recognize some. Three of them are lefties: Ryan Webb, Doug Nikhazy, who's been up, Rodney Boone. They're Nikhazy and Webb are in AAA. Boone is in AA. Their numbers are all okay. Tommy Mace and Trenton Denholm are right-handers, and they're in. Mace was in AA most of the year. He's in AAA now, and Denholm is in AA. You've got five guys there. The reason I point this out is this. You have a young group of six guys in that rotation. I mean, those are young guys.
Right.
Currently now.
Right.
Those five guys I just mentioned from that draft of 2021, do the math, they're all 25 or 26.
Wow.
So when you're 25 or 26, you kind of lose prospect status when you get to be 26, 7, 8. And doesn't mean you can't still break in. But I don't think you want to have a ton of 20, like next year, these guys will be 26 and 27. Probably don't want those guys there, you know, all of them. And I wonder, do other teams like some of these arms? Maybe Logan Allen? You know, I don't want to trade Logan Allen because I like the way he competes. But might some team in need of pitching, because most every team is, call and say, you know what, we like Nikhazy, who was a second-round pick. We like Ryan Webb, who was a fourth-round pick, and all these guys out of the same draft. Maybe they can move a couple of these arms that seem to be hovering there in the organization, and they're going to have to clear a path for other guys to come up and get a chance to play in AA and AAA, and maybe pick up a couple of bats who might be more intriguing than some of the guys that they're looking at right now. So that, I think that's something to watch in the offseason. But along with that, Bibee, Gavin Williams, Ciccone, Messick has looked really good. Cantillo has looked really good as of late. Logan Allen, you have six extremely viable starters for next year.
They're healthy there. There's no question about it. But you need to figure out this offensive issue, you know. Your difference is minus 38.
There's nothing to figure out, is there?
Yeah, you just got to go out and get some bats.
There it is.
Guys that can play defense and hit. I don't.
And
think
that's why
much.
That's why I point out what I call a glut of pitching.
Right.
And the glut is just this: you got a lot of guys 25 or 26 who it's like put up or shut up time, and they've done okay.
You know, these guys they're the reason we're here right now. There's no. I mean, that's. Yeah. They're why there are 74 wins.
I mentioned the guys who are in the minors, and then you got the guys in the rotation who are young guys as well. So I just wonder how they sort through it, because I think you're going to have to sort through some of that this winter.
So you're looking at, and I'm just kind of going big picture on the rest of the season here, that you've got a 10% chance of making the playoffs. And, you know,
is that what the odds are right now?
9.9% chance. So I'll round up. I'll be generous.
Appreciate that.
Dan, what did you think about the thought when Chris Rose was on with us just a few moments ago, saying that Houston's the team that's going to break? And so we're 2.5 back on the Mariners, is that right?
Yes, 2.5.
Okay, 2.5.
So you're 3.5 back on Houston. Houston's lost two in a row.
Oh, and they're a mess.
So give Seattle then the West, and now the race is, you know, if you continue to win, Guardians, Rangers, Mariners, you got a shot at the Rangers. I'm sorry. Then the race becomes Houston, Seattle. I messed that up again. Texas, Houston, Guardians down the stretch. Texas, Houston, Guardians down the stretch. To get that, it just seems, what do we have, 17 games left? It's also odd to me that, like, if we get a 90, let's just say Toronto wins two more games, they're at 83. They would end up with a 93-win season. Tigers, too, 93 wins. It just seems, you know, no 100-game winner, that we're not going to see that in the America. We're not going to probably see that on either side. There's no way we're, I don't think we're, may, Brewers have a chance. To look at that and say, okay, the Guardians should probably have their eye on Houston right now as the team that they're, Houston and the Rangers. What did you think of that when Chris said that? I found that curious.
I think he's right.
Yeah, I think he's right,
smart.
Too.
It's the Astros, between the injuries, they're not hitting the way that they should, and there's some stuff going on possibly behind the scenes with the Astros as well. I mean, there was that.
Does anyone feel bad for the Astros? No.
There was that Valdez, and I can't remember their catcher's name, getting their signals crossed. That was like,
and then he threw at him the one time. That was awesome.
Drilled him. Yeah.
Right. You've got some pretty...
their backup catcher who doesn't usually catch Framber Valdez.
Yeah. It's getting a little interesting in Houston, to state the least.
Yeah, that whole American League East is all better, all 98% and better to get in. So really, we're fighting for that one spot, that last spot that's sitting there.
Well, let me throw this at you.
Okay.
Our team has been so streaky this year. Well, they've won five straight. Are they due for a streak the other way? The five-game winning streak ended one that went south. If they can play solid ball the rest of the way, I think they have a real chance. I really do. But my fear is, okay, here comes the three or four game losing streak.
They have one loss, score,
and you don't get the starting pitching that holds the team to one to no runs, whatever.
I'm just trying to project. If you project on the schedule, do you want to project saying let's win every series? So if you
I don't want to project anything. I just want to watch and keep my fingers crossed.
One, so you win one here, two. Chicago, I mean, you got to take care of business. I don't know what Detroit's going to want to beat you up. And you're in Detroit. Minnesota
to
always
Jeff's
is.
Point, could this go the other direction? Yes, it's this Guardians team.
Absolutely.
And it's these Guardians bats. And there's nobody on this team besides Jose Ramirez that you can look at right now and go, yeah, that guy will consistently get hits.
Nobody.
The issue. Yeah.
Can I give you some more ugly numbers real quick?
Yeah.
The lineup that they used last night.
Oh, I know what it was.
And they scored two runs last night.
You got six games against Detroit out of 17, too. So
that won't be easy. But they seem to play the Tigers well. The lineup they used last night, at the end of the game, had two guys hitting above 237. And six of the nine guys at the end of last night's game were hitting below 228. Six of the nine. And yet they're winning. They're winning some games, and they're not out of it yet.
You know, they're 8.5 back on the Tigers. They play them six times. I'm not saying.
No, Andy, stop that one.
If you sweep them, you're 2.5 back on the Central. I'm just saying. Just saying. Stranger things have happened. And then you're out of gas when you hit the playoffs. But yeah, let me bring up one more point before we go to break here in a second, too. That I just, every time I hear someone say, I don't want them to make the playoffs. You know, if they get there, they're not going to be able to do anything. Would you stop? Just stop. Let's have some fun down the stretch here. They suck at scoring runs. The pitching has been good, although they did have 10 2 days ago, so we'll give them a little credit for that game. But, I mean, can we stop being so negative that we sit around and we're like, you know, if they make the playoffs, they're not going to be able to do anything.
What's with you in that voice today?
Stop, because I don't like that person.
Well, you're doing it.
Why do we do that? Why can't we have a little bit of optimism?
If this team is able to get into the playoffs.
If they make the playoffs, you're going to get beat, Jeff.
And pitches like it has down the stretch. Stranger things.
It's baseball.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.